So tell us about, give us an update. How are things going right now at NEA Baptist?
Things are going well. You know, we're very busy. We've got a lot of patients in-house. We've seen a lot of patients through our clinics and doing a lot of different procedures and things like that. We certainly are seeing an increase in COVID positive hospitalizations. And so we're working through managing that. But overall, we're in pretty good shape in terms of staffing and supplies and testing kits and all the things that are necessary to keep taking care of folks in Northeast Arkansas.
How has the pandemic changed the way you've been doing your job?
Well, you know, for me, I think more than anything, it's just shifted our focus a little bit in terms of, you know, what our daily cadence is. We certainly manage a whole host of things on a day-to-day basis, but as you can imagine, a large number of our conversations are about COVID and trying to keep up with the latest research and the latest guidance, whether that's from the CDC or from state officials, and just trying to make sure that we're able to continue to deliver care.
So what's been the biggest challenge in dealing with COVID-19 for NEA?
I think the biggest challenge has been just trying to keep people diligent around, you know, the necessary measures for keeping patients safe, for keeping our staff safe. As research has come out on the disease, we're learning new things every day and sometimes every hour. And so balancing that new information with the right communication and rolling out the right processes and procedures is probably our biggest challenge. As you know, anybody whose job might change frequently, that can be trying at times, but our team has handled that head on and is adjusting as we go along to make sure that we're able to deliver the best healthcare we can.
If you don't mind, what's the current capacity at NEA Baptist? And here's a two-part question to this. What's the current capacity and what could the future capacity be if needed for the hospital?
So on a standard day, we're licensed for 228 beds. We're running about 70-75% full on a daily basis right now. But obviously, as it comes to COVID, you know, regulations around those things get loosened up quite a bit so that we can scale to make sure we're able to take care of our community. And so we think that, you know, with all of our projections, that we're able to take on a whole host in addition to what our standard capacity is. I would say that that's a little bit dependent on a number of things. One, you know, how much supplies and PPE are we able to get to support our staff and to support our patients as our patient numbers increase, but also the severity of our patients. And so we're able to take a look and see that we've got, we think we'll be able to, you know, more than double our ICU capacity when the time arises that that's needed. And then aside from ICU, you know, it's hard to say, put an exact number anyways on how many patients we can handle. We're working through a whole lot of training and a whole lot of modeling to prepare for large influxes over the next several months. And so as we see severity of patients change, we'll be able to you know, lock down a larger number. But we think that we can, you know, easily scale the model that we have in place today to help take care of the needs in Northeast Arkansas.
There are a lot of concerns about what the future may hold with the fall and school starting. And, it, you know, it is an uncertain, you don't really know how bad it could be. And that probably is a challenge, but we have trying to prepare for the future. How are you all trying to prepare for what could be, you know, massive outbreaks?
Yeah, so I guess I would just go back to what I said about, you know, trying to ensure that we can scale appropriately. And so with so many unknowns and the timing of this disease and its spread really depending on people's behavior in our community, you know, we're preparing like anybody else to try to understand what the future will hold over the next several months. So the best thing we can do is to stock up on supplies and also make sure that our staff are trained appropriately and that we can pull staff that might normally maybe not even take care of patients. They may be nurses that are working in administrative capacities that we can pull back into the field and even non-clinical people, what can they do to assist nursing staff with caring for their patients? And so we're looking at all these creative ways that we can get people involved to care for patients so that whether an outbreak occurs in a school, in a religious establishment, or anywhere else for that matter, that we'll be able to handle an influx as those outbreaks arise.
If the hospital exceeds capacity due to a lot of sick patients, how would you all handle that?
Yeah, so if we were truly pushed to our limits, there's a number of things that we could do. Obviously, we would be partnering with hospitals in our region and even within our own Baptist system, as we now have 22 hospitals across about 350-mile radius. We would work to coordinate where those patients go and what the safest and best place is to receive care that they need. And then coordinating with our regional hospitals to make sure that we're all coordinating resources appropriately to meet the need of our communities. There's also been plans around, temporary hospitals if capacity is truly filled. And so there's conversations about where that might be in our community and how we would prepare those locations with staff and supplies to be able to meet those needs.
How often are you all in contact with the Department of Health, and do you get support from the state?
Yeah, so as everybody knows, and you see in the governor's daily press conferences, the state is heavily involved, and we're in constant communication with the Arkansas Department of Health and a number of other agencies that help us to navigate what the latest information is across the world as we learn more about COVID-19. And so we get assistance in a number of ways. One of those is just information sharing and helping us to understand what's happening across our state and across our nation and what's successful and what's not successful, so we can adjust our plans for care accordingly. That's a huge benefit to have a state government that works closely with you to navigate challenges and navigate questions as they arise. So we've been very fortunate to have a good partnership there.
How would you be able to treat those who might need a ventilator if you start running low or if you run out of ventilators?
Yeah, so we have a number of devices aside from our normal ventilators that are on the floor. Obviously, we can use a host of different mechanisms. So one would be anesthesia machines that are typically in surgery. There are other types of breathing devices that we utilize that can be helpful in a ventilator need scenario. And so, we're focusing on what can we repurpose to shift resources if that need truly was built above and beyond what we normally prepare for.
How worried are you about having the supplies and the PPE that you need to move forward in the future?
I think that's a good question that really is a hot topic across the country, as most people have heard, and our hospitals in this region are in particular talking a lot about how do we make sure we're prepared for that. I think that we've been very, very lucky to be part of Baptist Memorial Healthcare and such a large healthcare system, so that we have the buying power to get our hands on supplies and PPE that we need. And so at this point, we've been very comfortable with what we have in stock. And what we hope is that the national supply chain is able to continue to keep up as demand increases. But so far, so good. And we're happy about our ability to keep people safe. And we hope that we're able to continue to do that even as other communities see outbreaks that require an increase in supply for them.
One last question. There's been a lot of misinformation that's out there about COVID-19. I know you've heard probably a lot, like we all have heard, about people who are minimizing it. It's the flu, it's not real or whatever. I want to ask your opinion on this, just to try and help us understand this. How real is this threat and how bad is it?
Well, I can tell you that you're exactly right. There's a lot of misinformation and a lot of varying opinions, which people are certainly entitled to. But I can tell you, when you go walk into our ICU today or any time over the last few months, you're going to see patients struggling with the disease, struggling to breathe, and some nurses that are working extremely hard, and other hospital staff, including respiratory therapists and even housekeepers, working extremely hard to take care of these patients and keep them safe. This disease does not discriminate. We've seen patients of all ages seek our help and be hospitalized as a result of exposure to COVID-19. And we've seen a number of deaths, obviously. And so while people can skewer statistics all they want, the truth is that it really changes your perspective when somebody you know or somebody that you take care of is experiencing those challenges and those struggles. It's a very real thing. And so it's best for everyone to try to protect themselves, protect their families, until we have more information, until we have facts, until we have solid, effective treatment plans to battle this disease down the road.